Hello, and thank you for tuning in. Let's speak a little bit about kashrus and butter. Traditionally, butter was considered to be almost innocuous as to kosher supervision. Butter generally was a fresh dairy product, few or no additives, and it really posed almost no concern. Things now have changed, and let's take a look. How is butter produced in modern facilities? The primary ingredient in butter making is cream. Cream is fat derived normally from milk. However, there's another type of cream called whey cream, which derives from whey, which is a byproduct of cheese making. Let's take a look and try to go through the steps of making butter, having in mind these two types of cream. Fresh cream, or called sweet cream in the industry, and whey cream, which comes, again, from cheese making. The process undergone is as follows. To obtain sweet cream, a butter company will begin with fresh whole milk. The milk will be sent through a separator, which is a piece of equipment that separates the milk into its components. In this case, the milk will be separated into cream, which is the fatty part of the milk, and skim milk, which is non-fat or reduced-fat milk. In the case of whey cream butter, whey goes through a separator, and the whey is separated into its fatty component, the cream, the whey cream, and the remaining thin liquid is what we call whey, which has almost no fat in it. Whey is then processed for other applications. Following separation of either milk or whey into sweet cream or whey cream, the cream is pasteurized, meaning that it's heat-treated for a short duration, but at a very high temperature, in order to kill harmful bacteria. Pasteurization usually involves heating the material to about 170 or 180 degrees. Following pasteurization, the cream is quickly cooled down. It's not allowed to cool, but it's quickly, very rapidly cooled down. And it's allowed to settle for about 8 to 12 hours in order for the fat globules within the cream to standardize and to crystallize, to become more stable. After that, the cream enters a churn. A churn is a large piece of equipment which agitates the cream and separates the cream into two components. One component is butter. Butter is the actual fat globules of the cream. The remaining thinner liquid that is not as fatty but is not fat-free either is buttermilk. Once the fat globules, referred to as butter, are collected, they will be very often salted. Sometimes coloring will be added. Sometimes further flavoring will be added to the butter. And it'll then be molded and packaged. And that's what butter is. Again, it's the fat globules that have been pasteurized, possibly flavored, possibly colored, possibly salted. And they're molded and packed. And that's butter. In some butter productions, the cream can be cultured before churning. Culturing involves adding dairy bacteria to the cream to turn its natural sugars, its lactose, into lactic acid, which makes the cream more tart and have a stronger enhanced aroma, so that later on the cream will be, so to say, more buttery, a more tart, sharp, noticeable flavor, since regular fresh cream is of a more mild taste. Sometimes also starter distillate, which is a butter flavor, a butter flavoring made from milk and whey derivatives, may be added to also make the butter more tart or tangy or buttery. The taste of whey cream butter is pretty different from fresh sweet cream butter. Fresh sweet cream, again, comes from milk, which has a very mild, bland taste, and therefore sweet cream butter is a very mild butter. It has barely any taste unless it is salted or has other flavorings added. On the other hand, whey cream butter has a noticeable tart, cheesy flavor to it because it comes from cheese, which is a byproduct of, it comes from whey, which is a byproduct of cheese. Whey cream butter is also less expensive than sweet cream butter because whey cream butter comes from a byproduct from whey, which in many cases would otherwise be disposed of by a cheese company. In this case, it's salvaged for whey cream butter. Very often, products that have to have a sharper, more buttery flavor intentionally are made with whey cream butter, such as butter flavor for popcorn, for other snack foods. Very often ice cream comes from cream, which is whey cream, because the strong flavorings added to the ice cream will mask, will cover up the slightly tangy, cheesy flavor of the whey cream. So whey cream certainly has a very important part in the food marketplace. Many butter plants make both sweet cream butter and whey cream butter. And sometimes plants make butter from a blend of sweet cream and whey cream. Even if a company only processes sweet cream butter with no additives, no starter distillate, no flavoring, no cultures, there is still no guarantee that the butter is free of kosher concerns. Sweet cream butter very often is made in facilities that process other products, such as chocolate milk, juice, eggnog, sour cream, and so forth. All these products need to be pasteurized, and the common pasteurization equipment in the facilities is shared for butter, juices, chocolate milk, and everything else that I just mentioned. In such cases, the equipment can have tastes absorbed from any non-kosher products run through it, and that poses a kosher concern, of course. So, too, many butter plants don't make their own cream. They do not take fresh kosher milk and separate it into cream. Very often, they buy cream from outside sources. These outside sources very often blend whey cream into their sweet cream that they sell to butter companies. Very often, the sweet cream is run on equipment, is pasteurized on equipment in outside dairies that also pasteurize non-kosher whey cream. So therefore, even sweet cream has kosher concerns and should be reliably supervised. Some consumers believe that the grading system, the governmental grading system, A, AA, B, and so forth, that most commercial butter has, can be relied upon to ascertain the butter's purity and therefore its kosher status. This is not fully accurate. Contrary to popular belief, the grading system is not based directly upon the contents of the butter. That is, AA butter does not mean that it's made out of pure sweet cream. Grade A is mostly sweet cream. Grade B is some sweet cream, some whey cream. It doesn't work that way. Rather, the grading system is an organoleptic system, meaning that it's based upon taste and mouthfeel. When testers in butter facilities sample the butter and have to render a grade, they're looking for, in the case of AA butter, butter that has a very bland, very mild flavor, as well as a very smooth feel to the mouth. Therefore, most AA butter comes only from sweet cream, or almost always from sweet cream, but still whey cream may be present. As long as the whey cream present in the butter doesn't take away from the product's bland, mild flavor or its smooth mouthfeel, the butter can be graded AA, even though there might be whey cream present, and so forth. In Europe, things are a bit easier. The European Union has rules whereby dairies are barred from manufacturing fresh cream and whey cream butter for retail purposes, as opposed to in the U.S., where dairies very often manufacture all types of butter. In Europe, things are totally different. A dairy is either a sweet cream dairy, butter dairy, or a whey cream butter dairy. This does not mean that there aren't kosher concerns as to other additives and so forth, but the actual cream sourcing is much easier to monitor. Some have tried to justify purchasing non-certified butter based upon certain heterium, certain leniencies, such as the fact that whey cream is often kosher. Even if whey cream is non-kosher, if it's present in sweet cream, it might be nullified in the sweet cream and so forth. Flavorings are often kosher, but there's a lack of definitive information to justify relying on buying butter without kosher supervision that's reliable. Based on the above, we can pretty well understand the types of issues that need to be addressed by kosher agencies when dealing with butter plants, butter facilities. Certifying a butter plant involves very careful verification of all the cream sources being used, because remember, not every butter plant separates its own milk into cream. It buys cream from the outside. due to the compatibility of kosher and non-kosher cream and butter facilities, the major kosher agencies in North America banded together 6.5 years ago, and an historic agreement was made, whereby no longer would these agencies, including the OU, certify butter made in, quote, mixed plants. Mixed plants means plants that have kosher and non-kosher butter. They have kosher sweet cream butter and non-kosher whey cream butter, or they have kosher whey cream and non-kosher whey cream. Prior to this agreement, the agencies had to supervise butter plants by carefully making sure that the kosher cream was used in kosher butter, the non-kosher cream was used in non-kosher butter, that the equipment was properly kosherized, properly koshered in between. It was very laborious, and it was very difficult to monitor, to be honest. Based upon the agreement, there are no kosher and non-kosher butter facilities under recognized supervision in America today. All facilities under kosher supervision by recognized agencies are fully kosher. They might have whey cream, but the whey cream is only from kosher sources that have been fully certified. There is another aspect of butter certification that shouldn't be ignored. Let's speak about it for a few minutes. That is the issue of Chol of Israel, of special rabbinically supervised milk. Thousands of years ago, the Chachamim, the sages of the Gemara, of the Talmud, enacted a rule that regular domestic milk was not considered kosher. Kosher consumers cannot purchase or consume regular milk. The milk, rather, had to be specially supervised to make sure that it didn't contain any milk from non-kosher animals. Pig milk, camel's milk, horse milk, and so forth were and still are in certain locales popular foods. They're consumed in many parts of the globe. And there was a fear at the time of the Talmud that kosher consumers would purchase what they thought was kosher milk from a kosher animal, such as a cow, and the milk would be adulterated with non-kosher milk from a pig, horse, and so forth, etc. For that reason, the Chachamim, the rabbis of the Talmud, enacted a rule the milk has to be specially supervised, rabbinically supervised, as we call today Chol of Israel milk. There's a dispute in contemporary times as to whether or not milk in societies that have milk regulations, such as America, much of Western Europe, and so forth, still have these rules, the rules of Chol of Israel. Many poskim, many halachic authorities, are of the opinion that all regular domestic milk is fine to consume. The dairies are regulated by the government. There's no chashash, no fear of contamination with non-kosher substances, and therefore regular milk is fine to drink. On the other hand, there are those rabbinic authorities who rule that even today, one can only consume milk that's been specially rabbinically supervised, because that's the way that the rabbis and the Talmud and the Gemara set up the halacha, set up the protocol, and that's how we have to keep it today, regardless of the circumstances. Nevertheless, in the case of butter, a certain dispensation was made. The Rambam, the Tor, the Shulchan Aruch, our main halachic codifications, all state that butter can be consumed even if made with non-Chol of Israel milk, with non-supervised milk, because non-kosher milk, milk from a cow, a horse, and so forth, cannot properly form, clump into butter. Only cow milk can properly form into butter. The question is, today, how do we approach this issue? Seemingly, if that's the case, even those who only consume special supervised Chol of Israel milk products would be able to purchase butter under a regular certification, even if it's not made with special Chol of Israel milk. That's exactly what the halachic code seemed to state. On the other hand, not everyone agrees to this. Let's get to the core of the issue. When the halachic codes ruled that butter need not be made from special Chol of Israel milk, again, they had in mind the way that butter was made thousands of years ago. Butter was just made from regular fresh sweet cream, as we said, and therefore it was really innocuous. And since it couldn't come from non-kosher animals, cream for butter, there was nothing to be concerned about. Today, on the other hand, as we learned, butter is very often made with additives, with whey cream, additional flavors, cultures, and so forth. And therefore, many posit that contemporary butter did not fit into the category of butter that was exempted from the Chol of Israel requirement. Therefore, there's a large segment of society, the kosher consuming society, which even for butter will not purchase butter unless it's under Chol of Israel special supervision, unless the milk is from Chol of Israel supervised milk. On the other hand, many consumers, as I mentioned, will purchase regular butter, even without specially supervised milk. What's the reason that they do this? I mean, if butter has many additives, how can a person in good faith consume butter under the assumption that it can't have any problematic dairy components if, in fact, the way butter is made today is not the way it was made at the time of the Talmud? There are two answers for this. On the one hand, the Talmud simply says – I'm sorry. On the one hand, the halachic codes simply state, lo gazru ala chema. The chachamim, the rabbis, did not make a ban on chema, on butter, meaning the category of food called butter is halachically not subject to the rules of Chol of Israel, regardless of if the butter happens to have additives, happens to have maybe whey cream and so forth. Of course, it must be kosher. No one is saying that you can eat non-kosher butter. But the quality of the milk doesn't have to be Chol of Israel in the category of butter. They simply never decreed that the food called butter has the requirements of Chol of Israel on its dairy components. On the other hand, as was noted, many consumers who are normally particular to only purchase Chol of Israel products will purchase butter that's not Chol of Israel. What's their reason? Aren't they aware that butter today can have additives that were not part of the formula of butter at the time of the halachic codes and the time of the Gemara of the Talmud? The answer is that, in truth, many of the additives to butter are themselves exempted from Chol of Israel requirements. Please let me explain. The Ramah, Rav Moshe Isserles, holds that cheese, hard cheese, even though it must be kosher and must be rabbinically supervised, also does not have a Chol of Israel requirement on it, because hard cheese, the Ramah held, also cannot be made from milk from non-kosher animals, and therefore there's no need to supervise milk. Now, it happens to be that most of the dairy components that would be problematic that are added to butter actually come from hard cheese. Whey cream is a byproduct of cheesemaking. Starter distillate is a flavor derived normally from whey, which comes from cheesemaking as well. Therefore, the dispensation that the Ramah applies for Chol of Israel to hard cheese would apply as well to butter additives. And therefore, the main additives in butter that are not from fresh cream directly would be covered by the Ramah's exemption, because these are byproducts of cheese, which the Ramah himself holds does not need to be Chol of Israel from supervised milk. Furthermore, there are those who hold that any amounts of non-Chol of Israel, non-cream contents in butter, such as starter distillate, whey cream, and so forth, would often be butel, be nullified, in the fresh cream, unless one's buying fully whey cream butter. And therefore, for that reason alone, there are those who argue that there's no need for Chol of Israel certification of butter. On the other hand, these are novel approaches based upon rationales that are not well established in current contemporary halachic literature, and they require further discussion. The OU is proud to have been a part of heightening, of raising the standards of kosher dairy certification, especially as regards the butter industry. Thank you for tuning in, and have a great day.